We want to welcome a new guest to the show. If you're a fan of good sports writing and the Celtics, either or, but especially both, you love this guy's work. We're so happy to have him on with us. From the Boston Sports Journal, Brian Robb joins us on Downtown. Brian, thanks for being with us.
Pleasure, Rich. Fan of the program. Happy to be on.
Thank you so much. Well, we love what you do, and we love the way the Celtics season is going so far. 20-4 record overall. And what's nice is they're finding different ways to win. That Phoenix game, as you wrote, was really a matter of the bench coming up big for them.
Yeah, it was a really strange game since, you know, obviously the Suns are one of the worst teams in the league, and the Celtics just kind of were going through the motions, it seemed like. And, you know, they were putting up the points against a bad Suns defense, but the Suns were keeping pace behind Devin Booker with them. And then, you know, the game kind of changed at the end of that third quarter and fourth quarter. The bench unit led by Marcus Morris, who just obviously, you know, kind of transferred over there over the last couple of games, really led the charge. And guys, again, Marcus Smart has kind of found his shot in the last couple of weeks here and was a big boost as well. And they kind of created enough of a cushion there to for the starters to come back in and close things out down the stretch.
Well, you talk about finding their shot, and it's remarkable to realize that during that 16-game winning streak, I don't think there was a single game where they made over 50% of their shots from the floor. But, boy, that's changing rapidly here over the last few games.
Yeah, it's kind of nuts when you – because, you know, a lot of those games, it was just, you know, just a lot of gritty defensive play. And that – most people didn't expect this team to be like that this year. It was a team that, you know, when you bring in Kyrie Irving, you bring in some rookies, you think you're going to have, you know, it's going to be like an offense-first type team, kind of like it was for a lot of last year. But quickly we're kind of seeing a little bit of a metamorphosis on the fly here. The offense is coming around. The defense is taking a little bit of a step back. It's still pretty good, but it's obviously not, you know, the all-world defense we saw over the first month of the season. But the bottom line is they're still doing enough to win games, whether it's with offense and defense. And that's why they're the first team in the league up to 20 wins. And, you know, they got another challenge tonight in Milwaukee, too.
You know, you always watch players in the Celtics. I do closer than other teams. I knew Kyrie was a terrific player, but you have no idea, and certainly he was overshadowed by LeBron. But my goodness, being the number one guy 24 games in certainly seems to suit him quite well.
Yeah, he definitely, you know, when they made this trade initially, Rich, I was, you know, not skeptical, but I was like, all right, well, you know, I was really impressed by what Kyrie had done in those playoff games, like against in the finals against the Warriors, like his ability to step up the limelight. But I wasn't sure, again, if he was a guy who could kind of lead the way 82 games through the year offensively. And he's really taken a big step forward there. I think a lot of it is, you know, the fact that he has one of the best coaches in the league, and Brad Stevens kind of helping him, you know, scheme ways for him to score. So he doesn't have to just do it in isolation play. He's doing it, you know, cutting off the ball. He's doing it just, you know, coming off the screens and knocking down threes. So he's really showing a pretty advanced skill set that we didn't get to see all the time in Cleveland because of LeBron. And now he's kind of just using every tool in the box. And it's been, you know, for the last few weeks there, he's, you know, arguably been one of the best, you know, offensive players in the league.
We're talking with Brian Robb of Boston Sports Journal here on Downtown. Now, you wrote a really interesting piece about the disabled player exception that mm-hmm. the Celtics have because of the injury to Gordon Hayward. Can you explain why you think it might be wise to use that this week?
Yeah, the NBA trade stuff is kind of confusing, so I tried to break it down away. But pretty much the trade exception is like, it's a way the Celtics obviously can improve the league themselves with Hayward out. They can take on a salary, a guy up to $8.4 million, to kind of help, you know, replace the loss of Hayward. And they can use that up until March, but this week's kind of one to watch because essentially there's a lot of restrictions on the kind of players you can acquire with the disabled player exception. Essentially, they have to be in an expiring deal, it'll be the last year of their contract, and so that kind of limits the pool of players you can go after. But the Celtics, if they want to get tricky, what they could do, they could acquire a guy like that, a guy making like $8 million this week, and then they could repackage him in 2 months. In the NBA, you can trade a guy again after 2 months. Once you get them initially. So
right.
The trade deadline is 2 months away from now, you know, February 8th. They could essentially, you know, go after a bigger name, maybe someone on a longer contract if they trade for someone this week. So again, it's not necessarily going to happen, but if Danny Ainge kind of has his eyes on making a bit of a bigger move, a trade this week could be, you know, the first step in that process.
We talked about the bench, and because of the injuries, Brad Stevens has had to go a little deeper into that bench and a little earlier in the season than they originally planned. Who is somebody out of that group of second-tier guys that you've been especially impressed with and you think has really elevated their stock with the team?
Yeah, a guy that, you know, I'll go pretty far down the roster here. Daniel Theis was someone, he's a 25-year-old rookie that obviously no one really had heard of until the Celtics signed him this summer. He's from Germany. And he's someone who's really just given them steady production at the backup center spot. And that's, you know, whether it was just, you know, an energy guy rebounding or someone who's mobile enough to kind of stay with guards on the wings and switches. He's really just been a consistent contributor for the better part of the first 24 games here. And that's given, you know, Brad Stevens a lot of, you know, appealing options. Like he can feel comfortable about playing Aaron Baines with the starters because he knows at center, because he knows that he has Theis behind him to be able to hang with, you know, opposing bench bigs and, you know, really provide a nice boost there in the pick and roll with Marcus Smart finishing at the rim. So again, he's the cheapest contract in the league right now, making like, I think, $800,000 a year, essentially. So that's a pretty, you know, good bang for the buck for the Celtics off the bench.
Tonight they take on the Milwaukee Bucks. Of course, it starts with the Greek Freak. You got to do something to try and contain him. But they've also changed up their look a little bit with the acquisition of Eric Bledsoe. What does that do for this team?
Yeah, I mean, they were already very athletic, obviously, with Greek Freak and Chris Milton. And now, yeah, you throw in Eric Bledsoe there, one of the most athletic point guards in the league. And the Celtics are clearly going to have their hands full tonight, especially in transition to keep up with these guys. So, you know, the Bucks came in the first week of the season, one on the guard, one of only two teams to do that. And they're still obviously trying to get things going, you know, things figured out in Milwaukee as they adjust to the new players there after the Bledsoe deal. But they're 8-3 since making that deal. They've got a pretty good lockdown defense overall. They've been really good since the trade on that front. So again, it's going to be, you know, the Celtics threw a variety of guys at Greek Freak in the first couple games, whether it was Al Horford, Marcus Morris, or Semi Ojeleye off the bench. And now I think the challenge tonight is going to be with the guards, you know, Kyrie Irving, Jaylen Brown, Marcus Smart. They got to kind of keep Eric Bledsoe out of the paint, keep him from breaking down the offense, defense, because otherwise guys like Greek Freak and Middleton are going to have a lot of opportunities.
Obviously a long way to go in the season, but at this juncture, are they the best in the East?
I mean, as far as I think they're top to bottom, yeah, like through the first, you know, third of the season, I think they are the best team top to bottom. The problem is, you know, that means they got a head start on getting a top seed in the East. But Cleveland obviously is figuring things out right now. They've won, I think, 10 or 11 games in a row. They're going to start to get even healthier if Tristan Thompson returning. So, you know, if I had to pick right now in a playoff series with obviously Isaiah Thomas coming back, I'd probably still go with the Cavs if Thomas comes back and shows he's playing like Ken from last year. But it's the gap is clearly a lot closer than we saw last year. And it's going to be a pretty fun ride between those two teams and, you know, some other good teams in the East as well, the Pistons, the Raptors. The East is better than we thought, so it's going to be a fun race to the end, I think, this year.
Whether it's Kyrie, whether it's Danny, whether it's Brad Stevens, in your mind, who should get the lion's share of the credit for this 20-4 start?
Ooh, that's a great question. I think you got to give it to Danny Ainge for just, again, not a lot of people would be, you know, he's the guy who brought Brad Stevens, and he's the guy who made the kind of, not the risky, you know, yeah, we'll say risky deal to bring in Kyrie Irving in to deal with your rival and to give up that Brooklyn pick, you know, at the end of the offseason. So I think all things considered, you know, the moves there have paid off. The Marcus Morris has fit in well. The rookies they've brought in are obviously, you know, Jason Tatum, you know, has been clearly one of the best rookies in the league, one of the best, you know, best three-pointers in the league. So you look at all the pieces and how they've kind of come together quickly. Stevens certainly deserves credit. Irving deserves credit, but I think Ainge, as the mastermind behind it all, you know, I think he deserves the most of it based on how things have worked so far.
Brian Robb with us from Boston Sports Journal. And it's going so great. You guys are, what, up over 6,000 subscribers now?
Yeah, you know, it's very exciting. We just hit the 6,000 mark, I think, last week, just 4 months in to our start here. And, yeah, it's obviously been a lot of fun so far trying to give readers just, you know, a little extra in terms of in-depth coverage and stuff you want to read about for all four teams, not just the Celtics, Pats, Bruins, and the Red Sox. And, you know, Sean McAdam will be down at the winter meetings down in Orlando this week covering the Sox free agency. And the Celtics have obviously given me a lot to write about this year, too. So it's been a pretty good ride so far.
Well, and I say this as a subscriber. If anybody has a Boston sports fan on the Christmas list, nothing better than a subscription. It's money well spent to Boston Sports Journal. Brian, great talk with you. Thanks so much for being with us this afternoon, and we look forward to doing it again before too long.
Thanks so much, Rich. Anytime.